Importance of Fear is a horror fiction podcast which is intended for mature audiences. Discretion is advised. Welcome, Fearlings, to another weird and horrifying tale made just for you. I am your host, Mashulu, and I'll be your guide into the macabre and mysterious. Tonight, we explore clones and nanite blood addiction in the dark futuristic tale, Cybervamp. Before we get started, take a moment to like, subscribe, and ring that notification bell so you don't miss a single terrifying story. Ray fled as fast as his servo-powered legs could carry him. The rain pounded the rooftops like they owed money. The surface was slick, covered in gravel, and uneven. Ray was barely able to stay upright. The infrared scanner in his left eye wouldn't work. The connection to his brain chips glitched, and at any moment, his eye could simply turn off. He had no idea how far behind him she was or how to survive if caught. He just had to make it back to street level somehow and disappear again. Jenny toyed with her prey. She was right behind him, not making a sound. Jamming his brain chips with high-powered frequencies, she knew he was almost blind and couldn't hear her. At any point, she could take him out, but she followed him as he ran on fancy bionic legs just for fun. She knew that in about 30 seconds, he'd try to jump a 20-foot gap between buildings and crash to the ground. His legs were fancy, sure, but not that fancy. She could have stopped him, saved him from the pain of a broken spine by simply grabbing the back of his shirt collar before he jumped. She didn't. Instead, she went to the edge and looked down. Ray's body spasmed 6 stories below in a flooded alleyway. She smiled. His heart was still beating, but his skull, legs, spine, and left arm were all broken. He had landed face first, and if not for his carbon composite skull implants, it would have been all she wrote. Surviving isn't always a good thing. The impact had dislodged his neural chips from their sockets, which then ripped through his brain, giving Ray a blunt force lobotomy. Jenny gracefully climbed down an old fire escape like a cat without a care, grinning from ear to ear. He let out groans as rainwater pooled around him. He couldn't see anything, but he could feel her closing in. "Ray, darling, you idiot. Did you really think you could get away?" she hissed in his ear. He responded with grunts. He understood what was being said, but his brain had been rewired by gravity. 3 hours later, Hugh and Rhonda stood over Ray's corpse. It had been drained of all its blood, 2 puncture holes in his neck. "I hate vampire mods. Some silly jerk thinking they're Nosferatu," Hugh said while taking a bite out of a candy bar. Hugh was the kind of person that liked to say, "I'm getting too old for this crap," even though he was only 35. At 6'8" and 300 pounds, Hugh could have been a linebacker if football was still a thing. But under this huge frame was a caring, kind soul who seemed tough by virtue of his size. He had pale skin, curved circuit board over his head with wires that looked like a neon mullet, and a cyber eye that glowed green, his favorite color. "I'm guessing a vampire gang or some other nonsense. There's no trace of blood. Whoever did this was hungry." Rhonda was in her 90s and never thought she was too old for anything. Her hair was an expensive wig fitted with neon fiber filaments that changed color every 5 minutes. It was long and straight with bangs that gave 1990s vibes. She was curvy and had light brown skin. Rhonda also had a cyber eye, but it was the same color as her biological eye, so it didn't stand out. "I've heard that vampires drain the blood to harvest nanites. Seems like it would be easier just to buy them on the black market. We can run DNA to identify him, but I think the rain washed most of the evidence away, and there are no cameras in this area." Hugh was still looking at the bite marks. He knew they were from fake fangs installed to allow a person to suck blood, but something deep in his soul worried about an undead perp stalking the streets of the city. "It's the fantasy of being a vampire, I'm guessing," Rhonda replied. "You want burgers?" he asked, like a kid hoping for candy. "Sarah told me you're to have salad for lunch." Rhonda motioned to the forensics team to begin their scans. "I hate that you two are friends. I don't know what she's worried about. I have nanites clearing my arteries every day," he whined. Rhonda was his wife's best friend, and the two talked all the time, mainly about Hugh. "You get winded walking up 2 flights of stairs. Until you're in better shape, you're on a diet," she reminded him. Hugh sulked on the way to the hover car. Ray V-3222 was activated. His eyes opened as the biostasis tube he was grown in drained nanite-infused goo. The chips in his brain booted up, and the memories of every Ray right up to Ray V-3221's death came online. Once empty, the tube lifted, and he placed his newly grown feet on the cold steel of the lab floor. The room hummed with energy. There were over 100 biotubes with ray clones in different stages of growth. Each of them had the same choices to make when activated. Pick some biomods, get dressed, and start to run. He had 24 hours till Jenny started to hunt him down. It ended the same way every time. But this ray was different. The thought of running only to be caught and drained made no sense. While standing there naked, covered in translucent slime, and surrounded by clones being grown to one day replace him, Ray V-3222 decided it was time to stop Jenny and her eternal hunt. Though he had all the memories of the first Ray and all those who'd followed, he wasn't them. He would be a new Ray, the last Ray. He turned off the power to the other tubes. Soon, the others woke in horrible agony as they drowned in translucent goo. The air pumps no longer fed their lungs with oxygen. He smiled as they all died banging on the glass and choking to death. He was Ray Prime now, the last in his line. Jenny looked at herself in the mirror. She could see the newly acquired nanites removing imperfections across her face. It made running in the rain after Ray worth it. Many people lived a long time, but no matter what, they aged and died around 170. Jenny was 306, but she looked 20. She had no plans on dying anytime soon. Life was too much fun. She turned on the news feed while putting on her deep blue silk robe and pouring a glass of wine. The familiar ding rang out, alerting her that the new ray had been activated. "You have 24 hours, pet." Hugh and Rhonda sat in the back of Gus's diner. It was the best greasy spoon in the city, according to Gus. Hugh was looking at a sad Cobb salad covered in disappointed vinaigrette. He then glanced at Rhonda's double cheeseburger with bacon, a large soda, and fries like a man that had been starving for years. "You're a real cut." Rhonda put one finger in the air, stopping Hugh's sentence. "Would you like this to be your last meal, Hugh?" she asked, her eyes staring into his soul. "Because if you finish that word, it will be." "Why? What did you think I was going to say?" Her phone dinged. "It looks like the test results are back." "God, DNA takes forever." It had been 2 hours. Hugh agreed. "They need to upgrade the mainframe. I hear the feds can get DNA in like 5 minutes. Our ward is in the Stone Age." Rhonda sent him the files and they started to go over the data. Working while you eat was part of the gig. "Strange. It says the legs are a prototype created by LifeWorks in the Fourth Ward. So we have no jurisdiction with them. Oh, and they've already gotten a court order to get the legs back." "How are we supposed to do our jobs?" Hugh said while he tried to imagine that his Cobb salad tasted like Rhonda's burger. It didn't work. "The DNA test came back blank, which means our corpse is a clone. No other markings telling us where it's from or who might have grown it. This'll go nowhere unless we can get LifeWorks to tell us something." Rhonda took another bite of the burger and gave out a small moan of happiness while maintaining eye contact with Hugh. "Ha ha, very funny." Rhonda smirked and went for her second love, seasoned curly fries. "How do we want to do this? We have a body, but it's a clone, so no laws are broken. But we have to at least find out why this guy died in an alleyway. Plus, why vampires? Is it a gang? Is it one person? There are too many questions not to investigate." Hugh was feeling a bit emotional about the case. Clones were a touchy subject for him. His mother had been cloned when he was 10. She was shot during a robbery and died in front of Hugh. He tried to help her, but the damage was too extensive. A few days later, his dad came home with her clone. He'd changed her personality and memories to be more subservient. Hugh hated him for it. As he got older, he learned to love his clone mother, but she was a superficial copy at best, his father's idealized version of the wife he lost. Hugh had always felt bad for clones, born fully grown adults, heads stuffed with memories not their own, never able to grow into adulthood or learn who they wanted to be. It just seemed wrong. "You're right, we need answers. I say we head over to LifeWorks and try our luck with diplomacy. Maybe we can at least see if the vampire stuff is connected to the prototype legs," Rhonda replied. "Sounds good. I'll do the talking." "Correct," she smiled. Jenny finished her wine, drew a bath, and called the new Ray as the warm water relaxed her muscles.
"What she-devil?"
"She-devil, really? How Puritan of you, Ray. Just calling to let you know that you have 22 hours till I hunt you down and kill you. I'm sure you know this already, though. How many of you have there been? 2,000? She knew the number.
"I may be number 3222, but I'm also the last. Check your security feed. I deleted all the other clones. I'm Ray Prime now, and I will kill you."
"Do you think you're the first clone to do that?" "No, pet. You're like the 100th. I have a backup facility for just such an occasion. You're all poor copies of each other, never having an original thought. Sad, pathetic, and predictable as always. You'll be like all the rest. See you soon, cuck-a-doodle-doo. She ended the call and sank deeper into the bubble bath, smiling with satisfaction. LifeWorks headquarters were massive. Its 100 floors of labs, offices, and meeting rooms towered above the ward. The exterior glowed with neon billboards advertising the company's many products. Rhonda and Hugh approached the front desk, badges in hand. Hello, we're here to talk to a representative about a case, Hugh said, while Rhonda smiled next to him. The woman behind the counter looked up and scanned their badges. Of course, officers, let me get Mr. Floyd, our head of security. Just have a seat and he'll be with you shortly. She pointed to a group of bland couches. Thank you, Hugh replied. An eternity went by before Mr. Floyd finally approached them. I'm sorry for the delay. It's been a hell of a day. I'm sure you understand. I'm Mr. Floyd, but please call me Danny. He put out his hand. Rhonda was about to open her mouth, but Hugh stepped in front of her and shook his hand. No, no trouble at all. We just had some questions we were hoping you all could help with. Charm oozed from Hugh's face. Of course, let's talk in my office. Danny's office was covered in screens linked to cameras throughout the city. His chair was outfitted with a cable that he could plug into his head to monitor every one of them at once. Rhonda and Hugh sat as Danny plugged his head back into the chair. Sorry, I need to keep an eye on things while we talk. How can we help? Danny asked as camera feeds streamed into his brain chips. We understand. We found a pair of legs from Living Works at a crime scene, and we hope you can tell us who owned them. I'll send you pictures now. Hugh sent the pictures directly to Danny via secure stream. After a moment, he responded. Unfortunately, the company has already requested that they be returned and given their official response. I can't divulge who owned these, NDAs and all that. We just need to know so we can make sure the family is informed, Rhonda said with an edge. I can't talk about that product. Did you run DNA? Danny asked. He wasn't even looking at them. There was no DNA to run, Hugh replied, knowing what the response would be. Well, there's your answer. No DNA means clone, i.e. not a human, so no rights. Case closed, Danny said dismissively. Right then the door opened. Danny stood quickly, his face drained of all color. Miss Helix, what a surprise. Inspectors, this is our CEO whom I've never actually met in person. Danny was flummoxed. No need to stand up, Mr. Floyd. And no, we've never been in the same room, but I do know you're doing a wonderful job. Please sit. Jenny stood next to Danny's chair to face Hugh and Rhonda. I'm Jenny Helix, CEO of LifeWorks. And with whom do I have the pleasure of speaking? Danny wasn't sure what was about to happen, but hoped it didn't end with him working as a graveyard dock worker. I'm Inspector Hugh Summers, and this is my partner, Inspector Rhonda Jones, Hugh said. Why would a CEO talk to us, he thought. It's nice to meet you. Can you tell us about who the corpse is attached to your prototype legs? Hugh put his large, oven mitt-sized hand on Rhonda's forearm. Yes, and any help you can give us would be greatly appreciated. It would help close the case. You understand, Hugh quickly interjected. Jenny smiled. Danny here is held to the rules of the board for LifeWorks, Inc., and isn't allowed to speak to law enforcement, especially from another ward, without a LifeWorks lawyer present. Luckily, I am a lawyer, so yes, I can help, she returned Rhonda's gaze. Those are new cyber legs that will give people the ability to run faster and jump further than any other cyber legs on the market. Its main use is for first responders and military applications. The clone you found was designed to test out the legs in urban environments. The goal is to see how long the clone can escape a predator before being caught. This clone had strayed from our ward. I'm sure its predator did not realize it left our ward either. I've already sent an apology to your ward for the oversight. We didn't want to go through the courts to get the legs back, but that's how these things work. Jenny thought about how hungry she was. Draining a clone was fun, but humans? That was a feast. Rhonda was about to say something, but Hugh, reading the room, spoke up first. Well, that seems to clear it all up then. Thank you so much for your help. Hugh's smile could have been seen from space, even though he was in a building. He stood up and motioned to Rhonda to follow. She didn't. Yes, thank you. I'm sorry, I have one more. Oh no, we shouldn't take up any more of Miss Helix's time. Hugh gave Rhonda a look that pleaded to her to let it go, but Rhonda would not be deterred. Why have someone hunt a clone to test your legs? I understand clones have no rights, but it's still cruel to kill them in such a way. They are feeling, thinking beings, after all. Danny looked at Jenny out of the corner of his eye. Are either of you clones? She asked with an unsettling grin. No, but does that matter? Hugh asked, figuring diplomacy died a few minutes ago. Danny here is a clone. What are you, the fourth or fifth generation? Fifth, Danny replied. And what do you want most in life? to serve and protect LifeWorks, he said. Any other dreams? Do you want a family? Have any hobbies, she pressed. Yeah, I married Holly last year. We met at the Christmas party 3 years ago. We're thinking about having kids. I have hobbies too, but we don't need to talk about them. See, Danny is a clone of our first security head. We have a warehouse full of Dannys ready to replace this one. He's grown in a vat and meant to serve the company. In fact, we feed him new memories like his wife and lovely home life, but in reality, he sleeps under his desk. Wait, I'm not married? No, she's not real. No one in their right mind would marry a clone. She then looked straight at Hugh. Right, Hugh? That's enough. He is a human clone or not, Rhonda said. Jenny smiled. According to our laws, he's a product. My product. Who killed the man in our ward? You know, or you wouldn't be putting on this show for us. Hugh did the one thing he didn't like to do. He got emotional. When I was young, cyber technology was new. I was a goth girl into vampires and all that. There was a black market vendor who sold retractable fang implants that not only let you drink blood, but it allowed you to acquire the nanites of your victims. Immortality, as long as you keep drinking blood rich with nanites. Is she monologuing? Hugh whispered to Rhonda. I think so. The problem was killing humans. Even the poor ones came with too many complications. You never knew what diseases they might have or the quality of their nanites. Plus, families are the worst. She turned to Danny, who was completely overwhelmed with disbelief, grabbed his head, and sunk her razor-sharp carbon fangs into his neck. Danny tried to fight, but Jenny's cyber-modded arms gave her superhuman strength. All he could do was flail in terror. Hugh began to move forward to stop Jenny, but Rhonda grabbed his arm. I need to help him, he insisted. She can kill us both right here. We're in her ward, in her building. She's holding all the cards. We have to play nice, Rhonda whispered back. Now you want to play nice? Hugh was stunned. Danny gasped his final breath and went limp. Jenny detached herself and turned back towards the inspectors, her mouth covered in blood. Clones are worthless husks of flesh we grow in tubes to serve us, nothing more. Do you know how many cyber vampires there are out there? Millions. You are a step above the clones in the food chain to us. You should be thankful they are more convenient to feed on. Now, unless I want to test if I can get away with killing you both here, I suggest you leave. Jenny pointed to the door. Ray Prime stood across the street from Living Works waiting for Jenny to come out. What he didn't understand, due to being a clone, is that CEOs never used the front door. The rain lightened to a fine mist. Ray combed through the memories of 3,221 versions of himself to find any sunlight. Finally, he remembered it. It was a happy memory from the first Ray as a kid playing outside. He smiled. Right then, Rhonda and Hugh left the building. Ray noted the look of fear on their faces as they hurried from the entrance. Something told him they'd encountered Jenny. He followed as the inspectors went to their car. At first, Ray thought he was going unnoticed, but Rhonda spun around and pointed a pulse pistol at his head. Hugh followed her lead and pulled his gun as well. Whoa, I just wanted to talk, Ray threw his hands up. It was late. The heavy rain had returned with its big brother lightning. The diner was packed with the usual suspects, graveyard shifters, drug mules, and sexy escorts with their union reps. Typical Friday night. A murmur of disillusion hung in the air. Hugh stared at his coffee like it was going to say something profound. He could hear Ray talking, but it sounded distant, as if he was in another room. He only thought of Danny being murdered and doing nothing. Could he have saved him? He was a cop. His job was to make sure people were safe, but only if they were also rich. That thought gnawed at him. Hugh, snap out of it, Rhonda said. She, on the other hand, only thought of revenge, and Ray was the key to that goal. Sorry, just thinking. What's the plan? Hugh asked, only knowing that the word plan had been used. She wants me, so I'll be bait. And you two kill her when she shows up, Ray said with confidence. We're not killing anyone. Plus, if we were going to do anything, stopping her from murdering Danny and arresting her would have been it. Hugh, I know you wanted to save Danny, but we couldn't. We had no jurisdiction there. Plus, I scanned her. She's packed with state-of-the-art upgrades and supercharged nanites. She's a walking death machine. The only justice for Danny, Ray, and the countless of other clones she feeds on is to take her out, Rhonda said gently. Hugh was a big teddy bear of a man who felt the world's problems on his shoulders, and she wanted to protect him. Why you? Why does she hunt you? Hugh asked without acknowledging what Rhonda said. He couldn't shake the guilt. The first Ray did terrible things to her and others. I don't want to talk about it, Ray replied as he looked out the window. And since clones have no rights, she can take revenge over and over again with no repercussions, even knowing the first Ray was the only one that wronged her. She stays young off the nanites and avoids jail, Rhonda said. Can't she overdose on nanites? Hugh asked, puzzled by how complicated his life had become. No, there's something about her biomods and how the fangs filter nanites that protect her from overdosing. In fact, they make her immortal as long as she keeps feeding, Ray replied. That being said, I do know that she is weakest while feeding. Then we should have saved Danny, Hugh responded curtly. No, we shouldn't have. You know we were being watched. Our guns were at the front desk. I get you're strong, but she has top shelf mods installed. Plus, even if you did stop her, no way we get out of the building alive. We need to get her alone, away from her territory to level the playing field, Rhonda explained with a kind tone. She got what he was going through, but she needed him to move past it. You're right. I just feel bad. The only course is to get rid of her. How do we not go to jail forever? Hugh inquired. We lead her to the southeast docks. The radiation means no cameras, Ray suggested. It also means our mods don't work well either, Rhonda pointed out. Yeah, but neither will hers. We take older guns with bullets. I have a rifle and a 9mm, Hugh offered. He couldn't believe how this day wouldn't end. That works. One last thing. You two promise me that if I die, you go to this warehouse and destroy the other clones. Get rid of everything, Ray insisted as he texted them the address. You don't want us to wake the next one? Let a Ray live free of Jenny? Rhonda asked. No. She said something that struck me. She said I was predictable like all the others. I was only an hour old then. I started to think about who I was. I'm not the first Ray, but he is a large part of me, Ray said with a hint of remorse. The first Ray wasn't a good person, and those parts of him are in me trying to get out. With his memories and personality traits in my head, I think I'm capable of some real evil. I'm fighting his urges all the time. One of the first things I did was murder all her other clones. I enjoyed watching them die. I need to be the last Ray. A digital wall display counted down the final minutes before the hunt was on. Jenny wore a black latex bodysuit. It was a sexy retro look from old movies geeks loved. Jenny loved them too. Hot vixens fighting vampires, zombies, or robot overlords. They were stupid fun she could lose herself in, though she wasn't a fan of Twilight. She was Teen Lestat. Applying deep red lipstick, she thought about her draining Danny at work in front of inspectors. They just sat there. It was amazing. No one questioned what happened to Danny either. Security just hauled the body away and sprayed down his chair. A new Danny clone showed up within an hour. He would think he met the love of his life the next day when really he was sleeping under the security desk. The cycle continued. She smiled into the mirror. So much power. It was intoxicating. She had the world in her hands. Jenny could have shot someone on a crowded street and gotten away with it. She played with the thought of trying it someday. The display hit zero. It was time to hunt. The southeast docks were irradiated by a dirty bomb set off 10 years ago. The explosion was blamed on terrorists trying to take over the city. It was BS. What really happened was a power move by far-flung freight to take over the docks from Caspian Inc. The bomb was not supposed to be as dirty as it turned out to be. Millions died, either from the explosion or from radiation poisoning. The entire ward was abandoned. This didn't stop Far-Flung Inc. from buying up all the land. You have to think about the future, after all. Nature started reclaiming the building's skeletal remains. Vines wrapped around rusted steel, concrete gave way to mutant roots. If it wasn't for the radiation poisoning in every part of the ward, it would have made a great park. Ray, Hugh, and Rhonda picked a dilapidated warehouse to face off against Jenny. It was close to the water, so body disposal would be easy. Water danced with oil on every surface. The roof had large holes in it where hot ash burned through after the explosion. It was perfect. Hugh had turned off all his mods, even his cyber eye, so he could hide in the dark near Ray. It didn't matter. All their brain chips and nanites were spotty at best in the fallout zone. Rhonda perched in the rafters with a rifle, head to toe in black. She hadn't done this sort of work since her time in Aswan. She didn't like thinking about Aswan. Ray stood in the middle of the floor with a katana in his hands, also dressed in black. He thought he looked really cool. He didn't. Emotions boiled within him. Clones may have the memories of their predecessors, but that doesn't mean they understand how to deal with them. The thought of killing Jenny made him excited, and it bothered him. He also didn't really want to die. Ray Prime was the 3,222nd copy of a deeply flawed man. But he was also a different person at the same time. Jenny suddenly appeared out of the mist. Even with the radiation, it had only taken her an hour to find him. Looking at Ray, she smiled. A katana? I should know better than to think a clone would be original. Her mods were offline, but she knew something was off. This clone had laid a trap. She could feel it. You're a wannabe vampire in a black latex bodysuit. Let's not throw stones in glass houses, Ray snapped back. Well, are we just here to soak up radiation? Or are you going to try and kill me? She kept trying to get her mods back online. Ray drew his sword and tried to look menacing. Would you take the shot already, Rhonda? Hugh thought to himself. Jenny was finally able to flash her teeth. You should never bring a sword to a fang fight, idiot. Rhonda's bullet hit Jenny in the throat. Nanite-rich blood squirted everywhere. Jenny grabbed at the wound, stunned. She turned and ran in the opposite direction. The shot would have downed a normal human, but even with the radiation, Jenny's nanites came to life and started closing the wound. The threat to her body had been enough to activate them, but she was not safe. She had to escape the fallout zone. If she gets away, we're all dead, yelled Hugh as he emerged from his hiding spot. Rhonda, I thought you were going to take a leg out so she couldn't run, Hugh asked as he chased after Jenny. I was, but I just wanted her to shut up, she replied. Rhonda tried to line up another shot from her perch, but couldn't. She slid down a beam like it was a fire pole and joined the chase. Ray stood frozen in his spot. The fangs were part of every memory the Rays had at the end of their lives. They overwhelmed him with fear. He was 24 hours old, and in all that time, he never thought about what it would really mean to die. He felt Hugh pass by him, but didn't respond to his commands. In a few moments, he was alone, still envisioning her fangs sinking into his throat. He started to cry. Jenny had parked outside the radiation zone miles away. She cursed her own hubris. The nanites had stopped the bleeding, but her throat hurt like hell. Her mods kept teasing that they would work any minute, but then didn't. She wasn't in her ward, she didn't have a security detail, and if she died in the radiation zone, they may never find her body. It was a perfect trap, and she had walked right into it. The thought of a clone, especially a Ray clone, killing her was disgusting. She heard heavy footfalls gaining on her from behind. She spun around to find Hugh's pistol in her face. Inspector, I'm not sure what the clone told you, but please assist me and I'll make you very rich. Bribing was a great way to make friends. Hugh didn't trust her, knew she had to die, but saw the large gaping wound in her neck and lowered his gun. Where is your security detail? Hugh asked, glancing around. I usually can take care of myself, but this radiation is much stronger than I thought. Jenny stood up straight as she tried to regain her composure. If I could get my mods back online, I would drain them both, she thought. I never imagined he'd be smart enough to trap me like this, she admitted while trying to look innocent. I know that the first Ray did something terrible, but this isn't that Ray. Oh, he didn't tell you what he did? I don't think you'd be helping him if you knew. It's now clear to me that you're not going to pull that trigger, and you can't arrest me. I think I'll be on my way. Jenny turned and once again found a gun in her face, this time held by Rhonda. He might not have the stomach for killing, but I do, Rhonda said coldly. This was a mistake. By the midpoint of her sentence, Jenny's neural implants jolted to life, and before Rhonda could pull the trigger, Jenny had smacked her arm to one side and tackled her to the ground. Hugh just stood there as Jenny started to drink Rhonda's blood. Jenny drank deep, and her neck wound began to close. She knew Hugh could easily stop her, but she needed the blood, and he wasn't as tough as his frame had suggested. Rhonda bucked and flailed, but nothing was working. Hugh snapped out of it, ran up from behind, and tried to wrestle Jenny off Rhonda, but she was too strong. Her eyes had turned solid blue. Rhonda felt like she was passing out. Hugh took a deep breath, closed his eyes, and started to pull the trigger when suddenly he heard a swish sound. Hugh was startled and fired the gun away from Jenny's back. Hugh, you idiot, get this bitch off me, Rhonda commanded. He opened his eyes to find that the swish had come from Ray's katana. It was lodged deep into Jenny's skull. Then he looked to his left where he had fired. Ray lay on the ground bleeding from a gut wound. In reacting to the sound, Hugh shot Ray in the stomach. He then pulled Jenny's corpse off Rhonda and sat her up. He had Rhonda put pressure on the bite wound. Don't fall asleep. I have to help Ray, Hugh told her. She nodded. He went to Ray. I'm so sorry. I was startled by the sound of the blade. Stay still. We'll get help. It's okay. It's over now. She won't be hunting us anymore. Remember your promise. Destroy the other clones. I need to tell you something, Hugh, Ray said weakly. Hugh leaned in, and Ray whispered into his ear. To Rhonda, it felt like a lifetime. Hugh stood and shot Ray in the face. What the hell did you do that for? Rhonda yelled. He said I needed to kill him too. I said no. Then he told me what the first Ray had done, Hugh replied, still looking down at Ray's twitching corpse. You sit there while I get rid of these bodies. Your nanites should kick in soon. Then we need to get rid of those backup clones, he said, holstering his gun. Aren't you going to tell me what the first Ray did? Rhonda asked. No. I bet Jenny wished she'd sprung for a cyber skull. If you could clone yourself, would you? Be sure to tell us in the comments. If you like the Sportance of Fear tale, consider joining our Patreon. There's a link in the description below. Want more horrific stories? Click on one of our other episodes on your screen now. Good night, Fearlings. Sleep well, if you can.